he sunk, and fear won. You of little faith. See, that's how it works. Bravery is simply an exchange of fear for faith. And our faith in Jesus comes with a peace, an inner peace that defies all fears, a peace that confronts, not one that backs up or backs out, but a peace that comes with bravery, bravery to say, peace, be still, in the face of insecurities, in the face of opposition, in the face of the uncertainties of the deeper places, and saying yes. Yes to standing at the shore, embracing yourself for the exceedingly and abundantly more that we ever so often pray for. And when it comes, going head first into the deepest of the unknowns. This is bravery. Remembering that fear keeps us stuck, but grace whispers freedom. Fear shouts doubt, but grace sings peace. Fear taught you are alone, but grace declares,
Crazy horse, we hear what you say. One earth, one mother. One does not sell the earth, the people walk upon. We are the land. How do we sell our mother? How do we sell the star? How do we sell the air? Crazy horse, we hear what you say. Too many people standing their ground, standing the wrong ground. Predator's face, he possessed a race. Possession, a war that doesn't end. Children of God, feed on children of earth. Days people don't care for people. These days are the hardest. Material fields, material harvest. Decoration on chain that binds. Mirrors gold. The people lose their minds.
Yes, the party start down here, CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. Here we are at the 515 Fortis Avenue on the 4.5 Plus Centennial Manitoba Hall. Look out, look out. Last week, I Prince Ogona, Princess Jim Sulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T, and John was here, but never here. Sometimes here, Princess Rachel, but always here, Princess Catherine, to make sure we come out lovely, loud, and clean. Hallelujah. Love and kindness. Right up until 8 this morning, look out.
We are best by the best, I suggest. We thank the Father and
Gaia Freedom Drummers, we the people.
Listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
There come peace and from love, and you can hear as it defends the hand contains and comments regarding Charlie Kirk. And he battles with the conservative leader of the camp. Listening.
People who are going to gather here this afternoon, that you should not be protesting a minister of the crown's right to serve the people of Manitoba. And I would say to the goofballs out front, if you have an issue, you have an issue with me. I am the one who decided to keep this minister at the cabinet table.
Member's time has expired.
So much for one Manitoba under this false premier. Manitobans have the right to protest. They have the right to freedom of speech. You heard it here. This premier is trying to silence you. democracy, freedom of speech, debate, these are all healthy things in this province. I want to start off by being incredibly clear here. Violence and threats have no place in political discourse or society. Everyone should feel safe at work, in public, or at home, no matter how much someone else might disagree with them. The vandalism and fires at constituency offices are egregious, and I condemn such acts completely. This must stop. This is not right. Now, when the Minister of Families rationalized the assassination of Charlie Kirk, she crossed a line that I did not expect to see from a member in this chamber. Regardless of political beliefs, violence is never the answer and never something to be justified or rationalized, but the Minister of Families did just that. She justified and rationalized the murder of someone whom she did not agree with. The question is simple. Why is the Premier keeping a minister in his cabinet who has showed such visceral hate, condoned political violence, and showed no empathy for someone that was murdered in front of
Members
his wife?
Time has expired.
Well, I'm keeping the minister in cabinet because she's a great minister and because I don't believe in cancel culture, yeah. Unlike the members opposite. But here's the thing about the leader of the opposition. He wants to throw the stone and hide the hand. He wants to engage in the wedge politics, but appear to rise above at the same time. What was that nonsense of a question we just witnessed here? He says targeting political people is wrong, and then he runs and targets a political opponent in this very chamber. This is what I mean by he underestimates the intelligence of the members of the Conservative base.
Manitobans, you heard it right here. According to this premier, I can't even ask a question. A question to hold them accountable is deemed violence by this premier. No, a question is democracy. We're having debates. Manitobans have the right to get answers from this failing NDP government. Listening? Well, will he listen today? Manitobans have been loud and clear. They've lost faith in the Minister of Families. She blocked the only Indigenous national news team. She blocked foster families from contacting her. She separated children from families and put them in hotels. She posted that she has no empathy for a man that had been murdered in front of his family. So, Honorable Speaker, today I table over 450 emails from different Manitobans demanding the minister be removed from her office. Will the Premier listen to Manitobans like he falsely says he is and remove the minister, the failed Minister of Families, from her cabinet position today?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to resist commenting on how he struggled to lift the binder and instead focus on the words, okay? When we're talking about the words that the member opposite used here, let's focus on this. Everybody watching here in the House, everybody watching at home, does he attack me? No, he doesn't. He attacks the Indigenous woman sitting in the front row. That is what we're calling out. That's what my colleague from River Heights brought attention to. People will come to my constituency office, 300 people, and they will protest, but nobody ever thought to light a match. Why is it that that happens to our colleague from St. John's? Why is it that that happens to our colleagues from Point Douglas? Seems like gender-based violence. It seems like Indigenous-specific racism. And what is the member opposite engaging in here? Does he call me to account? No, he has to target the member for St. John's because he doesn't have the heart to strike out a new path. He wants to pander to the base. He wants to pander to division. He wants to continue
Members,
listening
time
to
time has expired.
Here's the difference, Honorable Speaker, Manitobans. I don't need to attack the Premier, but I can ask him tough questions. I can hold him to account, and that is what our job is. That's what I'm doing. And when I do that, what does he say? Violence.
No.
It's not violence. I am asking him a question to be accountable for Manitobans. And what does he throw? Racism in our face. What does he throw? Violence. This is gaslighting by the Premier right here, clear as day. It's our job to hold him accountable. Will this Premier today explain to all the Manitobans, over 450 emails, why he is keeping this failed Minister of Families in cabinet? Will he respond to each one of them personally, or will he just avoid them like he's avoiding all of the accountability for his failed ministers across the way? It's very concerning for the Premier to equate my job, Manitobans' right, to ask questions of the government and hold them accountable to acts of violence and racism. Last time I checked, I am a visible minority who is a leader, the proud leader of the Progressive Conservative Party. It's shameful. It's disgusting that the Premier would equate questions to violence. It's wrong. He's gaslighting.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks, bye.
Such a bad idea. went home again. Stand as far away from me as you can and ask me why. Hang on to your rosary beads, close your eyes and watch me die. You keep saying kick it, quit it, Lord, but did you ever try to turn your sick soul inside out so that the world, so that the world can watch you die? Home is where I live inside, white powder dreams. Home was once an empty vacuum that's filled now with my silent screams. Home is where the needle marks try to heal my broken heart.
A frightened 8-year-old girl lost in
charity
this
begins
new
at
world,
home.
Where the ancient names of my ancestry had no meaning in this country. Phyllis, my master said, your name is Phyllis. After the ship that brought you here, and Wheatley, my dear, that is after me and Susanna. Could I, a young child, dare to say that's not my name? That I came from the lineages as old as the sun, and I did not want this name of Boston? I could not say a word. I simply stood and stared what my ears had heard, and my heart burst in tears. The thought resounded in my head. Named after a slave ship, the vessel that robbed me of my life and my family. That's not my name. I came from people with names as sacred as the sun. And I did not want this name of Boston. Phyllis Wheatley, not Pendawan or Aminata Kulibali, not Asta Jallo or Fatumandiati. I wanted to scream and shout, but my tongue lay dead in my mouth. Yet this man and wife seemed to want to preserve my life. So I closed my eyes and nodded my head, thought of my father, and then said, yes, my name is Phyllis Wheatley.
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
like revolution, unless you choose it. Restitution is the best solution. Mess with feds and they'll execute shit. Next, we gotta go test the blue chips. Kill the stock market, vex the ruthless. Press the medical institutions. Rep communities, best for nuisance. We vote the rest, they'll never do shit. It's honestly time to be changing a lot of the economy. They obviously only care about money while watching our bodily autonomy. Get thrown to the wars, they care about dogs when it hoods. How they pro hypocrisy, moral good, no, the more of goods in their pockets, the plot of their entire brain. What's next? What else can you take from impoverished people? Automate the whole world with a smile, we'll still see that it's evil. But you need us like we need you. These corporations so see-through. If you pay people just enough to live, you would have got away with your schemes, you greedy bastards. And cops are fucking dumb, they thinking backwards. Y'all don't care about them either, and they killing for a damn salary. It's like 45K, can't afford pay, so they gonna leave after protecting the riches of the damn rich when they wipe their ass with the fucking badges. That's just my opinion. That's my opinion. We surrounded by a lot of fucking villains. They pro-life until we taking care of children. They pro-life until they shooting up the buildings. That's my opinion. Just my opinion. We surrounded by a lot of fucking villains. They pro-America until it's helps civilians. They pro-America until we raise the ceilings. I'm a faggot.
Nakai. Nakai. Watu wazuri.
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my can sprayers. dancers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and the uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Straight, my team heavyweight. One mark reppin', we the first to originate. Y'all can try to discriminate, you've been doing it anyway. We just keep stepping, coming up, watch us elevate. Deuce, Layla Bach, Rivers in the pen rip. Mac Ridge ripping, no, I never let the pen slip. Mary's at the crime brook, way up to the ridge. One love to the mob, out in West Side. Said you better be ready to get it. I'm spitting the kick in the rhythm and moving the difference. So go on and listen, we bringing the vision of Vatican with it. We got them all tripping, listen. Murray from the Mac Town, not here in Black Town. No question about it, Joe, we got to bring it back. So what's the half now?
Who we be? Running with the 22 clan. Who we be? Running with the 22 clan. Where we be? B-N-E down to S-Y-D. Steady repping for our original peace. Who we be? Running with the 22 clan. Who we be? Running with the 22 clan. Where we be? B-N-E down to S-Y-D. Steady repping for our original peace.
Yes, I'm oppressed, but you were pressed in Vermont. 60,000 years of bloodline, you ain't even got spines. What privilege is on the floor? Soak it up, snowflake. Why you crying for if it's just only a day? It's a day where all my women got beaten and raped. Babies got buried in the sand and they got kicked in the face. Took our heads back as tokens, yeah, I whoop them away. I stay proud of my culture, but convict culture's the rage. You can call me Buck, I'm Buck and cheat of the bone. Black and strong like my tribe, waiting for our river to flow. I run my mouth.
And there's nothing they can do to top us or drop us, beat us or block us. Cause 500 years of genocide couldn't stop this. Look into the dictionary and you'll see the definition of indigenous resilience. This is Native women, my great, 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 great grandmother's vision. They tried to stamp it out, but the phoenix is risen.
Native women, indigenous women, keepers of the heartbeat, keepers of the rhythm. Native women, indigenous women.
Talking about the local scene. It is and has been.
If you're in Cali with the wind, you always concert with Menominee. If you're a basket weaver, oh, you make that Pueblo pottery. Snohomish or Lenape or Citizen Potawatomi. Illuminate the space with our indigenous. Like cedar smoke, we rise tight like tobacco ties. Like stars in the sky, we are beings of light. With our kin by our side, we walk with love and pride. Changing the world one prayer at a time.
Good morning, Winnipeg. You're listening to my favorite radio show, Fantastic Fridays, every Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
We're losing my mind.
natives. New city, new sweet grass, new sage. We them bougie natives. You can holler at my name. Look, Snow Goonie from the boonies. Not the type you see in movies. Felt the spirit living through me since I was a puny dookie. Nietzsche, Nietzsche, looky, looky. How I get low when I boogie. Don't mind me some goody goodies. I'm Nate and Bougie. My wifey be the wolf, and I'm the wolf that's from the sea. And she no Pocahontas, more like Buffy St. Marie. Come do your dance with me. I dip, you dip, we dip. No, it ain't blasphemy. I sip, you sip, we sip with Nisika. I stand and rock with all my suit without the boosters. Me and bro came out the womb. Nietzsche 1 and Nietzsche 2. We very indigenous people. We some VIPs. I'm a blood thicker than Ulrich and Grease. Nietzsche, please sing your song. This my jam. Got my fam all going ham for the land, not the gram. Stay Benet, it's who I am. We choose copper over gold. Praise the elders. I remember what I'm told. Never turn your back on home. We them bougie natives. I got turquoise on my wrist. We them bougie natives. Five rings up on my fist. We them bougie natives. Big hat with the brim. We them bougie natives.
This time watch out, anything now shock out, get wash out. Watch out the king, the boat, and the queen. I come out, patch out, they are spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch out. Adam Ransing. Adam Ransing. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call and need to over me man a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up I can model every time. Absolute niceness coming with beer rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Wanna hear this? Ay, 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 ay. Good information from this station.
Think you where you come from, as long as you're a black man.
A black woman or a black child?
No mind your nationality, you have got the identity.
And perspicacity. Hey. Listen, eh?
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa, in the country called Nigeria, is the brother they call Prince Ogona to give you news and views from Africa. Prince Ogona, na, na, na.
It's good morning, Rasuko, and good morning to all of our listeners. Uno Kedu Kekwana. Greetings from Africa. Our first piece is from the Mkwasi Now, where he had Amari, a representative of the Gaza Relief Committee and a coordinator for local NGOs based in Deir Abala. Stay tuned.
But the real situation here over the ground, nothing tangible changed. But they halt some huge bombardment. Attacks and explosive robotics. But yesterday night, they returned attack a shelter camp in the western part of the Gaza City with a huge bombardment and caused more than, within the last 48 hours, more than 50 martyrs and more than 50 injuries. So the situation is something like stabilizing the current situation without a huge bombardment for all hours, but still attacking between time to time. And also they sieged Gaza town and they prevent the coastal road and they prevent the return of the civilians again to the Gaza City. And they announce officially they prevent Rashid Street used by our displacement people to return to the Gaza City. So the situation is just constant and stabilized with the current situation with no tangible changes over the ground here. And also there is no withdrawals from the encouraged area around the Gaza City especially and the east part of Rafah and Khan Yunis. So the situation is just stabilized like that. There is no nothing now clear for us as NGOs or local NGOs to coordinate the distribution of food. But their needs is really worsening more and more. There is nothing entering Gaza, especially within these days when they announce hard attacks. So our needs, especially we need more than 600 trucks day by day for our to meet our humanitarian needs. But, you know, until now, there is no nothing over the ground clear how we can deliver and how can we distribute the bins. But, you know, in the previous time, we have old mechanism with cooperation with NGOs and UNRWA and WFP and other organizations. So in my thoughts, we will depend over the very well calculated policy with international community NGOs, and we can manage that as compared to the previous ceasefire agreement that back from the Israeli occupation forces.
Our next piece, we speak with Maoz Inon, an award-winning Israeli peace activist whose parents, Bina and Yaakovi, were both killed that day when Hamas fighters stormed their kibbutz near the Gaza border.
It's a very sad day because so many lives were lost in the last 2 years. Of course, my parents, among them, they were among the first victims of the Hamas attack. But so many lives were lost. And I'm just very sad today. But I'm also, and I want to say my thanks and appreciation for all those Palestinians, Israelis, and from all over the world that are reaching out to me today and sending me amazing messages that they are thinking about me, about my parents, about their legacy, and that I'm and those who knew my parents also saying that they are sure my parents would be very proud from the work me and my siblings are doing to end the war and to start a reconciliation and a peace process. My parents, first, I had really amazing parents, and they were supportive, they were loving, they were caring, proud of the five of us. I have three sisters and one young brother, and they were very, very much involved with the life of their grandchildren. They had 11 grandchildren, now from the age of 3 to 21. And even though they weren't young, but they were in the prime of their life. My father was working full-time as agronomist and a consultant. My mom was very creative and active artist. She was painting mandalas in her studio and teaching from young children to adults to elderly people who would come and be inspired by her art. And their legacy and my parents' legacy is combined of two main fundamental values and lessons they taught us.
And next we speak with Plestel Akwad, an award-winning Palestinian journalist whose underground reporting from Gaza captured global attention during the early days of Israel's military assault 2 years ago.
Unfortunately, Israel succeeded in isolating and dividing Gaza from the rest of the world, meaning your experience as a Gazan Palestinian person living in Gaza is different than your experience if you're living elsewhere. For example, kids in Gaza grow up afraid of the sky. When you look at the sky in Gaza, you can't differentiate, is this a cloud or is this a smoke? The whole time you're listening to the sounds of drones, quadcopters, airstrikes and bombs. You can't even listen to the sounds of birds like any other normal person. And even the air that is in Gaza, it's polluted because of the bombs and airstrikes and everything. And in Gaza, when you see tent is like displacement, a cold place, it has a negative meaning. But outside of Gaza, tents are usually something nice. Oh, let's go camping, let's use them for the weekend. And that's Gaza's experience for 2 years. They've been displaced, bombed, trapped, and starved deliberately by Israel in Gaza. History didn't start on October 7, 2023. It's been 2 years of the genocide, but it's been 77 years, if not more, of the ongoing Nakba that started in 1948. I remember on October 7, when I woke up, I listened, like, I heard sounds of bombs, and I slept again, then I woke up again. I immediately, like, jumped out of bed. I went, I saw my mom. She was already on the phone calling the delivery guy. We want bread, we want flour, we want this and that. And this is a tradition that I know. Whenever I see like a family member doing that and ordering these stuff, I know that something bad about to happen. I then looked out of the window. I saw how full and crowded the streets were and the supermarkets were. Like everyone is just out buying stuff and so on. And I knew that something bad is happening, but I never expected that it will be a genocide that lasts for 2 years.
Yeah, we have another piece also from them, because now where we speak with Dana Levi, president of the U.S. Middle East Project. He says it is unclear whether the plan that Donald Trump has will lead to an end to genocide in Gaza.
Well, it's not a peace plan. It's many things, but not that. Look, the most important component is whether this can bring an end to the Israeli assault, a ceasefire, the release of Israelis, the release of Palestinians held in Israel, the Israeli military withdrawal from Gaza, and the entry of massively needed humanitarian assistance, which Israel has been preventing in its starvation policy, and the entry of that on scale. Now, on those things, the 20 points are extremely light on detail, hence the need to flesh those out, to make sure that there will actually be massive ramping up of assistance that's allowed in. And those are the things that are being discussed now in Cairo, one imagines. The pressure is on to simply and ridiculously say, you know what, trust America, all those good things will happen. The rest of what's in those 20 points, and in fact, more of those 20 points are devoted to the details of some kind of bizarre throwback to the Dutch East India Company, some kind of colonial administration, non-Palestinian, led by Trump, former Prime Minister here, Tony Blair and others. Might assessment is that they would then try and impose such a model in the West Bank, where you currently have nominal, if deeply unrepresentative and co-opted, Palestinian authority leadership. And there is nothing other than a few throwaway words about what would happen eventually in terms of the decolonization, deoccupation of Palestinian land. There is no reference in the whole bloody thing, even to the words West Bank. So the idea that this is going to set aside 3,000 years or whatever the president wants to call it is patently absurd. But that's why when the leader of the state, which is the key enabler of a genocide, puts forward a plan, one still has to engage with it. But that is why one at least needs to see, can it deliver on the immediate, urgent necessity of stopping the killing, starvation and displacement in Gaza, getting Israelis out, getting Palestinians released from Israeli prison.
Yeah, we have another one where we speak with Kieran Andrew, who is a British Palestinian journalist who has recently been deported to Britain after being detained about the global Suez flotilla.
The flotilla experience itself was long and arduous. It went on more than twice as long than anybody had initially expected. But one thing really held us together and really drove us forward. However many logistical setbacks, logistical challenges, or drone attacks. Interesting to hear that Netanyahu has now admitted to the Tunisian drone attacks, by the way. That's the first time I'm hearing that. But through all of these trials and tribulations, the thing that really, really held us together was our love for Palestine, for the people of Gaza, and the bonds of loyalty and solidarity that we developed among ourselves on the boats. So though the journey on the flotilla across the Mediterranean from Barcelona to Gaza was long and episodic, those things drove us forward. Once we got there, everything changed, and I can talk you through my experience now. So initially, the interception of the IDF on the boats was what we would call a soft interception, which is to say they didn't use the violence that would have been available to them had they wanted to. They were all carrying machine guns and so on, but nobody was physically hurt. Nobody's physical integrity was compromised on the boats, as far as I'm aware at least, for the interception. Nonetheless, it's important to stress that even if it's a soft or light interception, it's still illegal. It's still illegal to kidnap us in international waters and take us to the port of Ashdod in Israel, because we were 70 nautical miles, in my case, in international waters. Nonetheless, when we got to Israel, when we got to Ashdod, that's when the violence really began. So I was dragged out of the boat by my collar and chucked on the floor, cut my knee open. And the first thing I saw as we were dragged out, or I was dragged out, was 300 people kneeling with their hands behind their backs, facing straight down at the concrete outside of the port of Ashdod.
And next one, we speak with Alex Duval, Executive Director of the World Peace Foundation at Tufts University, who notes that Palestinians are still being systematically starved in Gaza, even as ceasefire talks are underway this week.
So famine is one of the simplest problems in the world to resolve. Historically, famines have been caused by all sorts of things like drought, and crop failure, economic failures, etc. But all current famines, every famine, every episode of mass starvation in the last 30 years or so has been man-made, the result of political or military action. And a set of norms were adopted by the international community, culminating in a Security Council resolution that was voted for, was partly designed by the first Trump administration 7 years ago, that said, among other things, that starvation of civilians may be a war crime, that humanitarian aid should be provided to those who are facing starvation, no matter what. And the UN Security Council should be notified and should act whenever this happens, or whenever such an eventuality threatens. And Israel has repeatedly shown, whenever it is put under serious pressure, that it can respond, it can solve the starvation crisis, or at least ameliorate starvation in Gaza in a matter of days, should it want to do so. It is a choice that Israel has, whether to feed the people or whether to starve them. And there is, under international law and under actual practice, absolutely no reason why humanitarian aid should wait until there is a ceasefire and an end to the fighting.
Next, we speak with Iyad Amawi, an aid coordinator who joins from Deir Abala in the Gaza Strip. He has mixed feelings, happiness, worries, and hopes about the deal. He is cautious due to Israeli habits during ceasefire agreements to grant themselves more time to punish the people to increase the suffering. Stay tuned.
Now it's a mixed feelings, happiness, worries, and hopes, and a lot of celebration here and also a lot of sadness. It's a mix because the previous time we suffered from genocide, from uprooting us, trying to expulsion us from our homes, from our land, from our city, Gaza. To this moment, we're still waiting the exact appointment for complete implementations. So we're still waiting until this moment. The people hearing some tank shelters and guns in the coastal area road, and they prevent the people from returning to the Gaza City. We have some casualties now at this time. So we hope the ceasefire implementation will come speedily without any delay. Yeah. Firstly, entering the numbers of trucks that determined before, maybe 400, up to 600, without restrictions, especially for the nutritious food. And the second, the huge machinery and cairns and bulldozers that can leveling the lands and removing the rebels to set up new camps to meet our needs and our displacement people. They haven't shelters, haven't tents. So this is the two main issues that we need urgently in Gaza Strip, and repairing water desalination and repairing sewage networks urgently to prevent pollutions and bad environment here that cause diseases and spread of infectious disease also in Gaza.
And next, we speak with some Palestinian and Israeli analysts on how to interpret the new peace plan.
Well, as you may recall, the Trump Netanyahu proposal announced at the White House last week dealt with three sets of issues. The immediate ones, meaning an exchange of captives, Israeli withdrawal, humanitarian aid, and cessation of hostilities. Then post-war governance, basically Project Blair, putting him in charge as the viceroy of the Gaza Strip. And thirdly, but only very tangentially, political issues, the crisis that produced this crisis, if you will. The agreement that was signed yesterday in Egypt deals exclusively with the first set of issues. So Israel and the Palestinians have agreed on an exchange of captives. We don't yet know the details of that in terms of which Palestinians will be released from Israel's prison system and according to what schedule. There is a cessation of hostilities, and there's a statement earlier today that Qatar and the United States have guaranteed that hostilities will not resume. I think those are relatively worthless commitments, because with Trump, you can't trust a word he says about anything. And Qatar is, of course, not in a position to compel this. And in terms of the Israeli withdrawal, there is an agreed line of withdrawal, but that also hasn't been clarified publicly. And some of these issues may, in fact, still be under discussion. The additional issues, post-war governance and the political issues, were entirely ignored. And this is seen as an achievement by Hamas, which very much wanted an agreement on the first set of issues, but was essentially being asked to commit political suicide and to accept national capitulation on behalf of the Palestinians with the other aspects. One point, I think we're now at a fork in the road. A continuation of this process, while it's very welcome, of course, that the genocide may be coming to an end and is at least now paused, this is a renewed Oslo process with an even lower political ceiling. And the key issue now is there is massive global momentum for a different paradigm in which Palestinian rights, in which Israeli accountability for its actions replaces these meaningless, endless negotiations about nothing that result in nothing. And I think that momentum also helps explain why we have this agreement finally, one that the Biden administration systematically refused to implement, but that Trump was able to force Israel to accept with a single phone call. And maintaining and intensifying that momentum is absolutely essential to ensure that the genocide does not resume in full force, that ethnic cleansing remains off the agenda, and that the real political issues can finally be addressed in line with international law and Palestinian rights.
And next, we'll go to Black Agenda Radio. First, we speak with Roger McKenzie, who is the international editor of the UK-based Morningstar. He joins to discuss the politics of growing UK movement against immigration from the global south.
We have seen, well, a number of flags being kind of just, you know, randomly put on lampposts and on and roundabouts, being painted in with the Red Cross on a white background, which is the English flag. Should say really clearly that the Union Jack, so the red, white and blue flag that many people see, is an amalgam of England, Scotland and Wales. And one of the kind of few amusing things about the whole thing is that you often see these Union Jacks being flown by these so-called patriots, as they call themselves, and often being flown upside down. There is a proper way of doing it, so they don't even know that. And it's, but it's a mistake, I think, Margaret, to see this as being just about immigration, because I think what's going on here is that it's something that we've seen for many years, certainly since, you know, I was a young lad, which is the way that the whole issue about immigration is code for all black people, really. You know, it's a way of saying you are not one of us. And that's what waving these